Hello, you're listening to The Witness podcast with me, Lucy Burns, from the BBC World Service. And today, we're going back to New York in August 1969 and the formation of the Dance Theatre of Harlem, which would become the first classical ballet company to concentrate on black dancers. One of the founder members of the Dance Theatre of Harlem was Virginia Johnson, now the organisation's artistic director. She'd been studying ballet since she was three at the Washington School of Ballet, but when she graduated, her teacher took her to one side.
She called me in her office and she said, you know, I know that you're going to have a career, but you're never going to be a ballet dancer because there just aren't any black ballet dancers. I was incredibly grateful that she had waited till that moment to tell me that, but it was pretty crushing.
So Virginia went to study modern dance in New York instead.
But I missed ballet tremendously. And somebody said to me, you know, Arthur Mitchell is teaching ballet class up in Harlem on Saturdays. Why don't you just go up there and get your ballet fix and come back down here and do the real dancing?
Arthur Mitchell had been the first African-American dancer to have a permanent contract with an American ballet company. And he'd set up a ballet school in the basement of a church in Harlem.
I went up to 141st Street, St. James Church, and there were, you know, some 300-400 kids running around, very crazy. And then when the ballet class started, they were very focused and they were very committed. And I thought, wow, this is just amazing. This is so... what a wonderful environment.
He'd had the idea for the Dance Theatre of Harlem the previous year while he'd been working to set up a national ballet company in Brazil.
So he was on his way to the airport on April 4th, 1968, which is, of course, the day that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And that stopped him in his tracks. He asked himself, why am I going to Brazil? Why am I going to do something outside of this country when there is so much work to be done here? And so he looked around him, his home neighborhood in Harlem, and he saw a group of people who had been written off. And he realized that by teaching the young people in this community a classical art form, he would give them structure and form and discipline. He would give them the tools, actually, to have a better life.
But Arthur Mitchell wasn't an easy person to get along with.
He was a heavy taskmaster. He was a very, very strict disciplinarian. He realized that we had to be better than better. We had to be better than the best. And that every single thing about us was being observed, was being criticized. And so he was the first to criticize harshest. So it was a very caustic environment. And yet it was so full of inspiration and love and determination to show that, yes, of course we can do this.
The Dance Theatre of Harlem started as a ballet school and grew into a ballet company made up primarily, although not exclusively, of dancers of colour. After 2 years of training and what Mitchell called lecture demonstrations, their first formal performance was at the Guggenheim Museum in New York City in 1971.
When we finished, the ecstatic applause, the sense that something brand new had been born, it was quite stunning. You know, we didn't think we were any good at all. He would remind us every day that we weren't any good. So that when we got that response from the audience, it was completely off guard. You know, it was like, oh, wait a minute, they liked us.
But not everyone was enthusiastic, including many people in the black community.
This is the late 60s. This is the middle of the civil rights movement. This is the middle of the black power movement. This is a time when people were saying, we shouldn't be doing the white man's art form. This is the moment in American history where we were finally embracing our own heritage. You know, for so much of our time, we'd had to suppress the fact that we were not European, and we had to kind of catch up or match whatever it was in order to succeed. And so this seemed like a step in the old Uncle Tom direction of trying to do what they were doing. So it was a very fraught tension there, because Arthur Mitchell was not Uncle Tomming. He was not mimicking white culture. He was saying, this art form belongs to everyone. But the folks around, it took them a while to begin to understand that.
And were you also getting resistance from the white ballet community?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, not seeing that there was a need for such a thing, or isn't that cute, or what a curiosity, because they don't have it. They can't look like it. They don't understand it. Of course, on every side, there was disbelief that we should exist.
It does sound like it must have been quite tough, though, sort of psychologically speaking, to be kind of, you're kind of catching it from all sides.
Ballet is tough. You want something easy? Then don't go into this field.
Virginia Johnson became one of the company's principal dancers, with starring roles in Swan Lake, A Streetcar Named Desire, and a new version of the ballet Giselle, set in 19th century Louisiana, among many others.
I've always felt that ballet is really about flying. You know, you get on the tips of your toes, it's the closest thing to flying. And to achieve that requires such incredible rigor because it's not natural. So it's a metaphor for the greatness of the human spirit.
The Dance Theatre of Harlem went on tour all over the country.
We would come into a town and you felt this coldness in the house when the curtain went up. You felt this skepticism and expectation that we would be doing gospel and Bach comes on. And then by the end of the performance, they're standing and cheering. And that happened over and over and over again.
They were even sent on international tours by the government as cultural ambassadors to showcase America's newfound enlightened attitude to racial diversity. Virginia Johnson kept dancing until she was 47, unusually old for a dancer.
I love this art form. I love ballet. So having the chance to do it over that length of time, to travel around the world, to be part of this organization that is making such an important statement. All of that kept me going for a really long time, but eventually I realized, oh my God, you're old, get out of here.
She retrained as a journalist and became editor of the ballet magazine Point. During the 90s, the Dance Theatre of Harlem ran into financial difficulties, and in 2004, the professional touring company went on hiatus. And in 2009, Arthur Mitchell rang Virginia up.
One day I got a call from him and he said, you know, I'm going to step down and I'm going to tell them that they have to close and unless you come in and take this job. Blackmail. total blackmail.
Virginia Johnson is now the company's artistic director. There's a new touring ensemble and the school continues. But Virginia believes that not enough has changed in the world of ballet, as she experienced on an audition tour in 2012.
The number of dancers of color in the room was very small. And the number of dancers of color who had been trained as if they were going to have a future in this art form was minuscule. I'm sorry, I get really riled up about this because, okay, well, you can take class with us, but I'm not going to give you any corrections. How do you become a dancer unless you get corrections? So I was seeing this, and it was for the first time that I realized how profound this bias is about who belongs in and who belongs out.
She says that the Dance Theatre of Harlem isn't just for black people. Their dancers come from a huge range of backgrounds. It's about making ballet more diverse.
We are not a black ballet company. We never were a black ballet company. We were about inclusiveness in this art form. We want young people of all colors to see what is possible in this art form and to dream because of us.
Virginia Johnson of the Dance Theatre of Harlem was speaking to me, Lucy Burns, for Witness. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.